Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double D Trailers. With over 25 years of experience in the horse industry, I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips, and insights into everything equine. Can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up and join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast.
Hi guys, Brad Heath here, owner of Double D Trailers. Today I'm very excited. We have Dr. Whitley on board with us for the Horse Trailer Post podcast. Dr. Whitley is a chiropractor and he owns Oklahoma Chiropractic in Edmond, Oklahoma. And you practice both on people and animals. You were featured on our website in the past in a blog interview with Rachel Kraft. So thanks for doing that.
And, yeah, of course.
And thanks for your time. We're just super excited to have you on our podcast today. I'll let you introduce yourself and maybe give us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in chiropractic for humans and animals.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Dr. Jordan Whitley. I'm a human and animal chiropractor here in Edmond, Oklahoma. What's crazy is I grew up, I didn't even want to be a doctor. I wanted to be a scientist. And so I went to school and quickly realized that test tubes didn't laugh at my jokes. And I went back to work construction after I got my degree in biochemistry and molecular biology. And I actually got hurt working construction. And so from there, I found chiropractic and I fell in love with the profession and how much science was behind it. And I figured out, I mean, we were able to help humans in a way that I had never seen before without, you know, the use of medication. Well, then fast forward a little bit, I find out that I want to go to school. I get accepted and I ask my chiropractor, I'm like, hey, if you could do one more thing or if you could do one thing differently, what would you do? And he's like, I would go back and learn how to work on animals. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Wow, well, you can do that? And he was like, yeah. Like we had a lady bring a chicken in, like you can work on animals. I'm like, that is amazing. So it kind of got me down this road of realizing that if I can help everybody in the family, I should also be able to help their family pet. And at the time, I had my pup until 2 years ago. It was Dixie, this one right here. I wanted her to live the best life possible. And so whenever I was in school, she ended up having a little bit of like an ACL issue. And through seeing her get adjusted by the veterinarian on campus, I just saw how much life she had again. And it just really just ignited that fire even further to work on animals. So fast forward, I graduate, I've taken the animal chiropractic program. And then, I go out into a world that doesn't know anything about chiropractic for animals. You know, it's in the horse world, right? They're like, okay, that barrel racer, she had a voodoo doctor come and cast a spell on her horse. And she also had it adjusted. You know, that was how you kind of heard of animal chiropractic. So, it was my job. I felt it was my job to kind of show the world chiropractic in a completely different way. And, just show them through the use of animals or the working on animals that we're helping them. They have no bias. They hate me when they leave here or they love me when they leave here, but either way, they're better. And so you can have a horse that's like, I hate you. I don't want anything done to me and they don't like it, but you adjust them and all of a sudden they're able to move better. They're able to make a barrel tighter. They're able to load a trailer that they weren't doing before because of, if it was compensation in some way or how often do our animals have headaches that we're not aware of or whatever. And so, yeah. So now I own Oklahoma Chiropractic. I'm currently in the animal side of my practice where we see dogs and cats and horses and all sorts of other fun stuff. And then we've got an entire separate human side. And this morning alone, we've seen over 50 something people and animals and I'm exhausted.
But, it's yeah, only 1 o'clock your time. So you've been busy.
It is. Yeah. So from 9 to 1, we've seen a ton. And we still have the rest of this afternoon to take care of people and animals. So, it's a blast. Every single day we get to help new animals. We get to help people, give them hope again that they're going to, in the dog side, that we're giving them hope again that they can, they don't have to put their animal down. On the horse side, kind of the same thing, but also like giving them better quality of life because of, this was my horse that I did barrels with, or I was, team roping on or whatever. And it's my friend and I want it living its best quality, best life with the best quality of life. And so, yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. I love what I do.
What's your day-to-day look like? Do you focus on, are you animals first and humans second, or how does that work? Are you just do one side of your practice one day and then schedule your patients the next day?
It was kind of hard figuring that one out. So I had a previous practice where every day we just had humans and animals at the same time. And I'd have a dog sitting there shedding all over the floor with a baby crawling through the hair, you know, a new mom, you know, wanting to get her baby worked on. And then there's a dog over here that went to the bathroom on the floor. It looked absolute chaos. And so when we moved to this practice, we have a separate animal side. And what we do is we start the day off seeing people because people need to get back to work or get to work. So we start from 9 to 9:30, we're seeing humans. And then from 9:30 to 10, we see animals. And then we go throughout the day. And then at 12:30, we see them for another 30-minute block until 1. And then at 1 o'clock, we're on lunch. At 3 o'clock, we start off with animals. Then we work throughout the day, working on people. Now on, because we get a huge rush towards the weekend, we get people that fly in from all over the country or, drive from all over the country. We have, Wednesday and Thursday set up as, like we have a fourth time on those days where we can see animals closer to the end of the day, to just kind of prep everybody before the weekend. And then on Fridays, I'm not even in the office at all. I'm actually out working on horses. Like I'll travel to, places to work on horses or exotics. I also do that. So, a couple weeks ago, I was down in Texas working on giraffes. And so like, depending on what's going on and where I get called, I could be anywhere on a Friday.
Yeah. So if I roll in and my upper back is hurting and I bring a chicken with me for an adjustment, yeah. I get a discount for the chicken. How does that work?
Actually, it would be the other way. If you get the chicken worked on first, you would be a referral based on your patient, which was the chicken. And then your first visit would actually be at a discounted rate. So nice. We do that because we want to help people. You know, they bring their dog in, but have never been under care. And so we talk to them about, you know, human chiropractic. And then if they want to get adjusted, you know, they go through the first visit process and they're at a discounted rate because their animal came in first. But yeah, it's kind of different.
I was reading on your website under your the Our Team that you go to the Oklahoma City Zoo and mm-hmm. other animal sanctuaries. I heard you mentioned you work on you've done an adjustment on a giraffe recently.
Yeah.
What animals do you treat most often?
I'd say most often is going to be in the office for seeing dogs a majority of the time. Cats, you know, have 9 lives. And so they run through all of them before we get to see them. But I mean, like if a cat comes in, we know there's a serious problem going on. But we see dogs all the time. And then we see horses. I mean, every Friday, my schedule is packed with horses where I may see between 12 and 20 horses a day or on a Friday, which that's a lot of driving time. And it's a lot of effort. But whenever we go and do like exotic stuff, like we'll work with sanctuaries, be it horse sanctuaries or dog sanctuaries. We also have worked in like a snake sanctuary, which was crazy, working on rattlesnakes and a bunch of other stuff. But majority is going to be dogs, like your normal household pets. And then like, depending on the time of year too, like OIE comes in town. And so there are all these different things like 4-H type scenarios where people are trying to get their sheep or their cattle or their pigs worked on. And so depending on the time of year, I may have a ton of sheep or, you know, some other farm animal. It's fun.
Let's see. So well, you did the interview with Rachel for the blog, I think, and I should have gone back and read that, but I remember that there were some misconceptions in the industry specifically related to horses and horse chiropractic care. I think, you know, a lot of the mentality is the chiropractors really don't do anything for a horse.
Yet. Right.
It's beneficial. So can you talk a little bit more about some of the misconceptions that you see, at least on the horse side of it?
This is a sensitive territory, right? So we work really well with veterinarians, but there are some, no different than medical doctors, that have this perception of chiropractic. And because of that, there's some misconceptions that, you know, we have no training and we're just wailing on animals and we're hoping something moves. And what is it actually doing? And, you know, I actually got into, I don't want to say got into it, but I had a heated discussion with a veterinary neurologist because he said, like, what we do doesn't do anything. But yet, whenever you look at how the joints move and how every joint is actually firing proprioception back up into the brain and how it actually lights the brain up and how that actually causes other things to be communicated with, or it increases vagal nerve stimulation. And like all of these different things, we're working on so many different scales that it's like, it, it's quantifiable, but it's like we could spend hours upon hours upon hours talking about how one adjustment changes the brain and the body and the joints and inflammation. And I mean, all of these different things. But yeah, there's basically this idea that we don't do anything, that we don't know what we're doing, and we don't have any schooling. And so with that, I went through 12 years of, regular school. And then I went through 4 years of college, and I went through another 4 years of chiropractic school. And in college, we only take 18 hours is kind of our max, unless you get written permission. Well, in chiro school, you're taking 32 hours every trimester, which equals up to, I had as many credits in 1 year of school at chiro school as I did in 4 years of college. And so it was very intensive, and we learn a ton. But then on top of that, we have to take the animal side of things, where we have to learn how the animal spine moves, and then also being able to figure out which diseases might be interplaying, and taking the chiropractic brain into the veterinary side of things, going, okay, I can see how this isn't working right because this and this, but there's also this underlying condition. We need to go ahead and have your vet check this out. But it's phenomenal though, being able to have that relationship though, because we have veterinarians that refer to us all the time, and they know, they can see it. I mean, you have an animal come in and it can't do something, and you make one adjustment and bam, it can do it again. It's showing the validity of what we do. And with horses, you can very easily tell on the timer. You know, we have the barrel horses, and you watch them on the videos, and they're not able to make those turns. And we make one adjustment, and all of a sudden they're taking a turn way faster than they ever did. And you can see the seconds on the clock change. Yeah, I mean, it's wow. It's incredible, because if they can't turn because of something irritating them in the neck, they're going to make a wider pattern because they can't turn in tight, or something going on with the shoulder. They're pivoting off of one shoulder. And so if that shoulder's hurting them, they're not going to want to put too much pressure on it. And so they're going to go around the barrel in a wider pattern. And that's just barrel racing. I mean, think of any other sport. I mean, we go to Remington Racetrack and we'll work on the horses there because they are, sprinting for money. I mean, that, right. If all the power comes from the back end and the pelvis is misaligned, how is that playing in on how the muscles move? How is that playing in on regular joint pain? If somebody's back hurt, I don't know if your back's ever hurt, but if it has, and I say, hey, I want you to run as fast as you can, you're going to be a little hesitant because the joints aren't moving well, and it's going to engage your lower back. And we see that in our racehorses. I could talk on this all day. Amazing the things.
On the misconception, I've seen a little bit of that myself. In fact, this past week, I was talking with a nurse friend of ours, and she's like, yeah, I'm not a believer in chiropractic and different things, but I've had a laminectomy and a microdiscectomy last summer, lots of back issues, and I was able to go for many, many years longer without that surgery and live without nearly as much pain because of that. So I'm definitely a firm believer in it. It sounds like there's a lot of benefits to horse chiropractic care and different conditions that can be treated. Talk a little bit about that, specifically the benefits of horse chiropractic care, and then the conditions that you can improve by doing those adjustments. Barrel racing is something that's very easy to spot, but I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
Oh yeah, for sure. So let's start at the front and work our way to the back. If we have a horse that their jaw is misaligned, are they going to take a bit properly? Probably not. Are they going to have more tension up into their jaw, up into the pole? They are, because of the proximity of this area. If the jaw is messed up, then this tension right here could potentially be causing a headache. Well, now I have an animal that isn't acting right, or has more of a temper, or they're temperamental. That can also cause tension back here, which can cause a misalignment of the pole, Atlas and occiput basically. And now you have an issue with rotation, and you have an issue with lateral bending. So we're not able to turn. And so then we're going to develop issues where we're, and we're not wanting to turn, which depending on the horse could be a very quick, hey, I'm going to throw you. Actually, all of these different conditions are, I'm going to throw you, depending on what you do and the temperament of the horse. But then whenever you look at that, you have to understand the way the body works is you don't just move one thing and that be it. Whenever one thing moves here, another thing moves here, and another thing moves here as compensation. It's kind of like if you had a platform with a bunch of blocks on it, and they, or even your spine yourself, like my eyes have to constantly stay on the horizon line. So if I'm doing this, my skull has to then change and tilt, and everything has to move in accordance with that, for my eyes to stay on the horizon line. well, if it doesn't compensate properly, my eyes don't stay on the horizon line. Like right now I've got an issue here and my eyes are tilted. Well, what is this going to do to our horses? Or if I go to this side, I can actually move easier. So what is this going to do to them whenever they're trying to break or cut? If they're trying to run full speed on something and they're not able to gauge a depth perception properly, because the skull is a gyroscope. And it allows you to move, like think of those really nice cameras where you move and the camera stays directly, I mean, it stays perfectly still, but the person's doing this with it. That's your skull. And so if the muscles are tight on the back, your equilibrium is off, your depth perception, your ability to make certain movements or turns or whatever. And then as you work your way down, that's going to cause tension in the mid neck, which again can create a ton of issues whenever it comes to range of motion. That's going to play into the shoulder. So we have a lot of equestrian people that come in English riders, right? So we're looking at, we're hunter jumpers. We're seeing where we're developing shoulder issues. And so as they jump, they're landing on a shoulder. Well, if that shoulder is not moving properly and then you take force on it, what is that going to do to the shoulder or the neck, which is in close proximity to it? Think of it like this. If I told you to jump off the roof with your legs locked, you're only doing it one time because your body can't absorb the forces and you're going to cause damage. But if you're able to roll or if you're able to absorb that force by bending your knees, you're able to do it and have less damage. Well, take a joint that's not moving and then put, 1,200 pounds behind it, 1,500 pounds behind it. It can definitely cause damage. Then we work back and we're looking at like withers, right? So the nuchal ligament, which runs all the way up the spine and into the occiput, is attached at like the withers or the upper thoracic spine. And so as the neck is moving and that spine's not moving properly either, it's going to cause tension in the mid back. We ride off of one side, or we normally will not just ride off one side, but we will get on the horse from one side every single time. Well, what is that doing when we're grabbing this handle and pulling it towards us over and over and over again? Is it taking the spine and tilting it and causing the spine to get locked into a position that's rotated? And then what is that going to do to the ribs attached? And how is that going to affect the sternum underneath? How is that going to affect lung capacity? Then we can work our way down a little bit further. And like anything in mid-back, you have the flexion extension issues or lateral bending issues. You take a saddle, whether it be a small English saddle or a full-blown Western saddle, and you have a spine that isn't moving well, and then you put a saddle on it, and that saddle is dipping into that spot over and over and over again that's causing pain. Your horse is going to get more and more and more stiff. No different than your back hurting and you continuously leaning back on it. You're like, okay, this sucks. Then we work into the pelvis. And again, that power that comes from the pelvis and just regular ambulation, like you can see sometimes that like as they're walking away, you'll see one side drop down and the other side doesn't. And so instead of it dropping down like this, as they're walking, you get this weird compensation where it's off of one side and they're like throwing their leg out. And I mean, all the way down, we work into the legs and then you start to see changes in like hoof pattern or how much stress is on like accessory carpals or I just ran through the whole horse. I mean, there are so many things beyond that too. But this is just like the small examples where it goes, oh, okay. Like the science behind it, like I can see how that could be an issue. So if we move this over, we change the muscle length, that should create this. And that's where it's like, if anybody says, hey, I don't believe in it, as soon as you say, hey, isn't this mean this? Doesn't this do this? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then all of a sudden we're back into a conversation of like how chiropractic care works. And then we can work with those animals and make horses better. So we are shaving seconds off. We are making it to where they're able to move like they're supposed to. I don't know how many hesitations a horse may have, like jumping in a trailer, jumping out because of something going on with their neck or something going on in the shoulders where they don't want to extend or they don't want to flex. Right. I mean, there's all of that stuff. So
how do you get a horse to relax? I know when I go have adjustments, my chiropractor will massage first, then he or she will use the needles, acupuncture to relax a little, and then do the adjustment. But, I'm breathing out and I'm relaxing. What do you do for a horse?
It depends on the horse. So, I work on a wide variety of different things. So I work on the horses that are like straight up crackheads that are the ones that are running the races, and they are just wired for sound. And then we are working on the sanctuary horses that are potentially used and abused. We have the ones that are that hate people. I mean, just generally hate people. And then we have the ones that are like the one you would put your daughter on, your granddaughter on. We work on a wide variety. So depending on what's going on, sometimes it is just a you know, I'm working with the horse. I walk up and I'm kind of talking to them and rubbing on their face a little bit. And I will work into the adjustments and I'll gauge how they're doing. And I let them process it. And we work through that process and they get to a point where they're like, oh my gosh, this feels amazing. And they relax on their own. Sometimes we have the horses that they don't, but the situation goes back to, this idea that like, oh, well, the animal doesn't like it, so you shouldn't do it. That doesn't really fly, because if the animal has a major issue, it doesn't matter how much they don't like it, they need it. And so sometimes I will have to work through that. And so we'll have an animal whatever it may be, let's say a horse of different kinds, or, you know, every horse has its own temperament too, or every different breed has its own temperament. We'll be working on a horse and it's like, okay, I have to get this done. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to trick them into turning one way. And as I turn them back the next, I make the adjustment. And I just do it and I step back and then I let them process it. And they're like, oh, wait, that wasn't terrible. And they start licking and chewing. And then they come back over like, okay, you can do whatever you want. We also have the ones that as soon as I make the adjustment, they're like, holy, what was that? And they don't want to have anything to do with me. And we have to work through that process. And then there are other ones, especially at the sanctuaries, that are so bad off that they will not allow anybody to touch them. And so they have to be tranquilized. And so they're just given a light sedative. And then I'm able to go in while they are relaxed. And I make the adjustment and then they are able to chill out. And whenever they kind of come out of it, oh my gosh, all of a sudden they feel better. We also don't have to deal with the muscle tension at that point either, because so much of their tension is based on this anxiety and stress. And so we make the adjustment and whenever they're sedated and there is no muscle tension at all. And so I'm able to make the bones move super easy. It's kind of like the exotics we work on. You know, I work on some exotics that are super tight and tense and they have no idea what's going on, or dogs. But then I work on like a lion that's sedated and I'm like, this is like moving butter. And I can get something to move that would normally be locked down because the muscles are tight. The muscles are trying to protect an area. And so I can work through it easier. It's not a one fit answer. It's not a cookie cutter answer. It is every single animal is different. And what I have to do changes depending on what animal I'm working with. And there's some dogs in here I have to wrestle. There's some dogs that are high anxiety that are sport, you know, dogs that I have to, we have to just work through it. And then we have the other ones that are abused and we have to work through that in a completely different way. And it's the same no matter what animal I'm working on.
That's so great info. Do you have any testimonials or customers, clients that have come to you? I'm sure you do. And they're like, you know, I'm a hunter jumper. I've been competing and for whatever reason, my horse is not performing well. They work with you for, I don't know how long or how many adjustments it may take to see improvement. Mm-hmm. But now my horse is, you know, just like a new animal. Is that something that you hear
on a regular basis? Whether it doesn't matter the animal, we constantly hear that. We, especially with like our horses, like I was at the racetrack and I worked on a horse and as soon as I get done with it, like, you know, they call the owner, the trainers call the owner. And then within a couple of days, it's like, hey, I need you back out. Like we immediately saw improvement and we want to get this guy up and rolling. Like if he's doing this good after the adjustment, like he's already great. Let's see how far we can push this. And, you know, again, money's on the line. So, you know, they want to get him better because they saw an immediate difference in him. We have a lot of them. It's like, here, this horse won't do a lead change. This horse won't jump. This horse won't do something. And it's I can't turn this way. I can't turn that way. Completely different. We've also had the ones that their entire temperament changes, where we work on a horse and they're like, yeah, I just don't know what's going on with this horse. And we work on it. And all of a sudden, like, it became the sweetest horse I've ever owned. And you realize that like it's been upset, it's had a headache, or it's been in pain, causing it to have a bad attitude or to see the world in a different way.
Does that work on toddlers? Does that work on toddlers?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah. So attitude adjustment. No, I'm kidding. We do. We work on a lot of kids too, and so yeah. I mean, we work on them and like the typical things that we see in people, like we can relate it over into animals. You know, obviously it's like, it's called something different in the animal world than in the people world, you know, like a knee is called a stifle and a wrist is called a knee, you know? And so it's like these weird things, but at the same time, like as we're working on these people and we go, okay, this child is having learning disability issues because of ADHD or whatever, and they're not able to concentrate. And we make an adjustment to Atlas and all of a sudden everything just kind of mellows out a little bit. And all of a sudden they're getting better grades. And then we go, okay, wait, how does this relate over to the horse world where this horse does not want to learn anything? And we check Atlas and Atlas is way off and we make one adjustment and all of a sudden that horse is wanting to pick up on things again. Right. It's amazing how we can relate the two and realize that, and vice versa too. I mean, like we realize that some of this stuff is like, oh, okay, this is like we give it, you know, human world, we give it a medication symptom. Hey, this, you have this symptom, here's your medication. In the animal world, we go, okay, here's this, wow, one adjustment fixed this problem. What can that do in the human world? And so it's beautiful how we can meld the two together. And that's why I love being able to work on both, because I can do that. I can go, oh my gosh, I see the similarities and the patterns. So then we can talk to both medical providers and, you know, veterinarians and go, here, this is why we do this, and relate that world back to them. But anyway, sorry, I go on tangents. So
no, you're good. You're good. We'll switch gears to horse trailers and horse trailer safety. Okay. You mentioned about a horse having hesitations, possibly loading. Are there dangers to traveling in horse trailers? Kind of what have you seen on your end? Your client comes to you, my horse won't load, my horse won't trailer. What do you see in there? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things. What there's the traditional, hey, you are taking your horse in a metal box on the road and anything can happen. And we actually had some people come in after a car wreck where this person pulled out in front of their vehicle and the trailer came up behind, or I'm sorry, they were pulling their trailer and it actually sheared the ball off of the hitch. I mean, like it was a pretty bad wreck, but because of the way the trailer was set up, the horses came out with minor issues and we were able to work on those. But like number one issue is you're driving, you know, you could at any point in time be hit or have a turnover or something of that nature. But whenever we're looking at, let's say you have a joint that isn't moving well, and I used the example earlier of like jumping off the roof, you have joints that aren't moving well, and now they are put in a trailer where there's constant vibration, they're standing for long periods of time without really moving, and again there's constant vibration, forwards and backwards motion, and you have a joint that's already irritated, you are increasing the irritation on that joint. You know, you are getting it moving a little bit with, you know, it's almost a vibroplate, but at the same time, that forward and backwards constant stopping can definitely cause injuries to shoulders that are already upset. The way they have to have their neck one way or the other for long extended periods of time, you know, if they already have a current problem, it's just going to exacerbate it. There is the, you know, potential issue of like a ton of weight jumping off of a trailer. Well, one time may not be an issue, but I take my horse out every single day. We load up into the trailer, we get off the trailer. So that's repetitive motion over time, over and over and over and over again, can potentially wear out a joint, no different than a dog jumping off the couch over and over again. So in saying that, there's that stuff that, like, you know, as we get those animals adjusted, those things are able to better adapt to those situations and be able to go through those situations without having a problem. But you know, and I don't want to say make and model make a difference, but they do. Obviously, we're talking about that. But there are safety features and stuff that could potentially help with those things in the just general safety realm. But whenever it comes to like the individual joints and how they're moving and all that stuff, yeah, I mean, chiropractic care can definitely help minimize those issues or at least allow them to function better or get through a haul better.
Yeah, no, great info. And we've worked on, I mean, lots of innovative safety features to help with that, reduce the vibration, going with rubber floors, wide open entry and exit levels to help the horse not feel claustrophobic while they're loading, reverse loads. Yeah. It seems to be, you know, some science behind that. Let's see, I had a question on my brain. Oh, a couple things. One, do you think all horses should be seen by a chiropractor? So if I have five horses, should I have a maintenance schedule with you coming out for all of my horses? And then my second question, again, pertaining to the trailers, is just any advice you have for horse owners that are frequently hauling in trailers?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I would say yes. I think anything with a spine should be seen under chiropractic care. And I want to say that in this way. We are seen kind of as neck pain, back pain doctors, and that's not what we do. It is something that we help with, but what we do is we facilitate motion in the spine. And with that, if we were to work on something, let's say we were working on animals or people at a very young age, what we're doing is maintenance, and we're making sure that spine is moving so it can adapt throughout the years, it can adapt to all the forces being put on it. The toddler that falls over, a foal that falls over, you know, they're tumbling and rolling and doing all these things. And what are they potentially doing to their spine? Well, then they live with that that problem, developing compensation for years and years and years. So think of it, I want to think of it like a new car. You have a new car and you constantly take care of it. You make sure the oil is changed, the tires are rotated, you do everything you can. That car is going to last longer. Eventually, there are going to be things that just go out. But the overall, you're taking the best care of it you can, and it lasts longer and it performs better. You'd have another car that you don't take care of for 10 years, and all of a sudden you want to start taking care of it now. The damage that's done is already done. You can't change that. Well, in a car, you can replace parts, but you're not going to do that on a horse. But like the damage that's done is done. And then what you have to do now is you have to do almost an overhaul on it. You have to clean up as much as you can, but still know that there's a ton of degradation or degeneration done. And now we're trying to maintain and prevent it from getting worse. Or you have the car that you never take care of at all, and it dies an early death. And what I mean is like die an early death doesn't necessarily mean in years, but in life, you know, wellness. Prematurely dying mentally and physically because they are so decrepit that even though they may only be 20, which may be old, but yet not really that old, they have to be put down because they are not moving as they should because their spine was never taken care of. And it wasn't neglect on the owner's part. It was just, I didn't know. And so what we want to do is we want to try to take care of every animal, no matter at what stage they're at. We can help them try to maintain wellness and maintenance. We can try to facilitate motion and try to prevent it from getting any worse. And then they're the ones that are at the very end of life that we're going to go, hey, let's give them a better quality of life so that maybe they can live a little bit longer in peace, which is what we do a lot. I mean, we have a lot of animals that are just older and super arthritic and decrepit, and we're putting motion back into them and giving them life again. And so these horses and these animals of all kinds are just kind of given a second chance at life for the little bit of life they have left. And it also helps the owner too. I mean, there's that part of it where it's, you know, we're giving the owner hope. We're giving the owner like, hey, I had another year with my dog. I had another year with my horse. Right. And we got to do more and we lived a better life. And it wasn't like this terrible remembering of how they suffered. So it's a different way of looking at it. I think that any animal with a spine should be worked on. We're also working on exotics to show that as well, because like with the zoos, just in general, most of the animals it's very veterinary minded and nothing wrong with that, except that there is that idea of wellness is not necessarily there. It is when it comes to let's medicate, but it's, or let's help in whatever way we can with, their enclosures and things of that nature. But when it comes to spinal health, people don't really think about that. And so we want to be able to incorporate spinal health into what they're doing, no matter the animal, no matter the person, no matter the whatever, we're facilitating motion in their spine. Everything that I look at is through a chiropractic lens. And so the general advice I would give is to have your horse worked on in a chiropractic sense. And the reason for that is that you're increasing their ability to function, increasing their ability to live. So in general, with horse hauling, I mean, they're able to do it better, which means they're not going to fear it because they don't fear the pain they're going to receive whenever they jump off this trailer and their shoulder hurts. So they are more likely to load. It's going to be safer on everybody rather than you trying to shove a horse into a trailer that doesn't want to go and there's a potential for injury or accidents or whatever. Increasing anxiety is going to increase the muscle tone, which is going to potentially irritate something. They're basically everything boils back down to chiropractic care and how that's going to just facilitate better life and motion. And I mean, my answer for everything is chiropractic. So
I love it. You're passionate. I love it. So we'll switch gears a little bit. And maybe do you have a favorite part of your job? And then I'm going to throw in this little word TikTok, if you could elaborate on that.
I really thought about that because it was like immediately I thought about the educational side of things and how I can help educate. But I love being able to see the change where these animals and these owners are given like a second chance at life. And that is the most fulfilling part where somebody comes in, they say, hey, I was told I have to put my dog down tomorrow. And, you know, here we are 9 weeks later and the dog is walking into the office when it came in originally, you know, the owner was holding it because it couldn't walk. Seeing the life change or the human patient that I've had that, she was like, I've had headaches and dizziness for 30 years and you made that adjustment and I haven't had dizziness in 6 days. I'm like, fantastic. You know, like changing life. I think it's amazing. But the, yeah, I mean, it's just, that has to be my favorite part. And I can't, I'm going to leave it at that because it's just so, like, it's a gift from God. And I'm like, I'm blessed to be able to be that hand, you know? Amen. So, I mean, it's amazing because it's not me. It's not me at all. It's chiropractic, and chiropractic was created as a way, like, from God to allow us to help people and animals and give them better quality of life. And so it's not me, it's chiropractic, and ultimately chiropractic was, you know, from God. So, but that's 100% my best part. TikTok, that's
been, I thought you were going to say your favorite part of your job was making TikToks.
No, I know that's my worst. I hate really? It. Yeah. So we make it fun, but like what happens is, I have a social media team now because I can't handle that part of my business because it's too personal. You know, being 100% transparent, I get very irritated with it because we have, you know, millions upon millions of people who absolutely love it. And then we have millions upon millions of people who think I'm a fraud, right, and send me hate letters or send me death threats, or they call up to my office just to tell my staff that I'm going to die soon, or people reporting our stuff or whatever. And so we have that. Right. And then, you know, in all professions, I mean, we have chiropractors that think we're frauds. We have veterinarians that think we're frauds. There's also, it opens up the world into a completely different portal. So instead of looking out your window and seeing outside your front yard, you're looking through a portal and you see the world at all different times of day. You're seeing different parts of the world and what's happening and all of these different things. Well, in that, we originally posted one video kind of as a joke. It was me working on Joe Exotic's tigers and a baby tiger. And I worked on it and immediately gets taken down for animal abuse. And so I send them all my stuff. And I'm like, hey, I am an animal chiropractor. This is my certification. This is my doctorate. This is my license. This is what's going on. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, in the meantime of that, I'm kind of mad. And I post one video of me working on a horse and it goes completely viral. I mean, the next day I'm getting calls from all over the world. You know, people wanting to shoot a TV show and doing all this other stuff. And then for the last 3 years, we've ridden that out where, we're able to educate people on that and all that. But in the meantime, when I was doing it, it was fine. But as soon as I handed it off to somebody, like my social media team I have now is amazing. But in the past, we've had people create videos and they post them and they're like, here, shock factor. And it's me working on a dog. And the only thing you see is a horse or a dog yelping or a horse looking like it doesn't like the adjustment. And I'm like, why did you post that? And they're like, well, it's shock factor. And I'm like, no, it's making the profession look bad. Like you didn't give context to it. And so in that, it adds a ton of stress knowing that like at any point in time, my profession, my career, all that stuff is hanging in the balance of some people that have to make reputation. Really good judgment calls. Yeah. Reputation, everything. And also in that there are, this has actually been a recent thing. There's actually another guy who is claiming to be an animal chiropractor out of Germany. And so his videos are all over the place right now. And he's being called an animal chiropractor. And he calls himself a doctor of chiropractic, an animal osteopath, an animal chiropractor, an animal healer, all this stuff. Turns out the guy is a human massage therapist, has no training, is not a chiropractor, does not have anything. As a animal chiropractor, you either have to be a doctor of chiropractic or a doctor of veterinary medicine who's taken extra credentialing classes and whatnot over a length of period of time to be able to work on animals. And This person has no training at all, but because the world doesn't really know what animal chiropractic is and Germany doesn't recognize chiropractic as a profession, this person can run around calling themselves this animal chiropractor and they are literally destroying the profession here in the United States where veterinarians are grabbing his videos and going, see that person right there? That is why you should never go to an animal chiropractor. See, this is why it's fake because this and this and this aren't real in that video. And see, it's got this many views. This is fraud. And then I'm going, oh my gosh, like I see what you're talking about because that literally does not work. And that is not a move that we would ever approve of. And that is actually dangerous to the animal, but yet it's running rampant. And people are like, this is what animal chiropractic is. And the guy laughs. I talked to him. He said, I am going to create a TV show and I'm going to show the world how to do this at home. And I'm going, oh my gosh, like the knowledge that we have to be able to do this. And this person through a TikTok video has created a platform where he knows nothing and yet is going to teach the world. And through TikTok, he's allowed to. Through Instagram, he's allowed to. And that's why, like, there's part of me that absolutely loves TikTok. And there's part of me that loves being able to scroll mindlessly for an hour, you know. But there's good and bad.
I think it's good, TikTok, you know, all of these tools we have, social media, Google, if used properly, it's good for educating consumers. And I appreciate the time we're doing here, because that's what we're trying to do, educate folks that, you know, the advantages of it, and kind of dispel some of the myths that you hear. Guys don't know what they're doing and this and that. So in closing, I guess if you had one piece of advice or information to share with every horse owner concerning horse chiropractic care, what would that advice be?
That's a good question, but I think
I'm a horse person. Any advice for me?
I think it would boil down to get your horse worked on from a chiropractor, whether you believe they need it or not, because there are things that we see that nobody really sees or really, really, they don't realize is an issue. And it's kind of like waiting until your car starts smoking before you go get an oil change. Once it gets to a point where it's bad, now you have to rebuild. Now you have to put more effort into it. Now you have to, it's going to cost you a lot more money. I'll just put it that way, because you're constantly having to work on it. And then at that point you realize, oh shoot, I realize the significance of this. Now I need to go and, you know, have my horse on wellness. But because of that, I have spent all this money and time trying to get my horse back to working order when I could have started this a long time ago. And there's no age that cannot have chiropractic care. The way we adjust and how we adjust and the depth or the speed or the force can all change depending on the age of the animal, the size of the animal. So like if your horse is a newborn and you're like, hey, I'd like to get this thing checked. Fantastic. Let's go ahead and do that. That way we start off with no compensations. We start off with the right foot basically. And then also those ones that are, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if there's anything else we can do. There's always a chance that your structural problem can be fixed with chiropractic care, where, you know, everyone else has told you, hey, nothing is going to work. And then you go to a chiropractor and you realize it's a one bone that needs to move this much. And as soon as that shoulder moves, your world has changed. It's a very inexpensive way to at least just get your horse checked once, you know, just to make sure it's moving like it should. And then from there, you can find out if you have a problem versus waiting until it's too late.
Yeah, good advice. And I can speak from my own personal experience with chiropractic that maintenance has been the key for myself versus don't wait until you need to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You should be going and then you don't really need to. So that's the key. Yeah. Dr. Willie, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today and taking your time. I've learned a lot. I hope this was educational for our viewers and listeners. And I would encourage everyone who is watching or listening to go to his website at the link below. We'll have that on our social media and our videos. And also check out his social media channels. There's some good stuff on there. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate it. Of course.